in the best sense of the term, is a proper emotion if that means compassion. But it doesn't mean you feel sorry for this person, so you throw a dime at him. You know, I mean, that is salving of the conscience. That is not ministry. The Bible's talking about ministry when it talks about genuinely helping the genuinely needy. Verse 5. This is a strong, strong statement. 17:5. He who mocks the poor reproaches his maker. Wow. Wow. Have you ever made fun of somebody who was in that condition? Either their dress, their manner, their speech, whatever. Have you ever made fun of them? Mock them? You're mocking God. Why? Because they're creatures of God. And they are those who may already be or maybe could become children of God. They are persons for whom Christ died and gave the last full measure of his life so that they might be redeemed as well. And so to mock implies devaluing. You mock at things that you think have less value, that you disdain. And so you're putting them down, and in putting them down, it says you're putting God down. That is tough. Yes, Arsha.
The man who wrote Fresh Face, who has the church in New York.
Symbola.
He tells a story. He said his church was for everybody. And he said one day there was a man outside on the sidewalk,
yeah,
who was drunken and said he was smelling alcohol and urine. That was awful. And raggedy clothes. And so he picked this man up and took him into the church for the service. And he goes on and tells the story. And the man ends up becoming a professional businessman and a three-piece suit and doing incredible.
His life got turned around completely.
Totally.
Speaking of attitudes towards the and mocking of the poor, one of the places that we live, one of the lovely places that we live, is this three-decker in Boston, and the ground floor had been converted into a tavern. So I had the privilege every day of passing by, passed out. I won't say what else was on the sidewalk. Drunks, and as a kid, I developed a dis. I'm not sure if that excuses me or not. It doesn't. But I despised them. I had distaste for what it was that I had to see and walk over to get up to my own apartment. But I didn't have a charitable attitude. I promised. And if you think about your own heart's attitude, you need to think about whether that is indeed the case for you. Because it was, I confess, the case for me. We read again in 19:7, you don't have to turn there, Proverbs 19:7 says, all the brothers of the poor hate him. That's the family members. How much more do his friends go far from him? You know, if your family members can't stand you because you're the black sheep and you're the ne'er-do-well in the family, your family members can't stand you, never mind your friends. Of course, that was the whole point of the story of the prodigal, wasn't it? The prodigal was one who went out with his inheritance and lived riotously and made, quote, friends, who soon evaporated when the money ran out. Friends will be the first to desert you when the means for maintaining of their conviviality goes away. Yes. Yeah, let's be sure to be present for Jim's address. Second thing about the truly needy, besides the fact that they are not to be despised, the second thing that the Bible teaches in Proverbs is that they are not to be ignored. Now, if you're despising someone, you're at least paying attention to them. That sounds funny, doesn't it? Odd to say it that way, but they've got your attention at least to some extent, or you wouldn't be despising. But for most of us, it isn't the case that we sort of focus upon the poor and then begin to hate them and despise them. It's just that we go like this. Well, let's see what the text has to say.
Yeah. We had a lady in our other church that reached out to the homeless, and one of them murdered her.
Yeah, there's a risk involved.
The ladies in this class need to know that there's a right way to feed them.
Yeah.
But don't invite them into your house.
I think you are wise as serpents, harmless as doves, and you have guys helping guys, and I think that's the smart thing to do, the prudent thing to do. Right. They're not to be ignored. Proverbs chapter 21. And verse 13. Proverbs 21:13. Whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself, and not be heard. That's tough, isn't it? Let me repeat that. Chapter 21 and verse 13. Whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. Whatsoever you mete out to others will be meted back to you. I think the Lord taught that principle. And we ought not to expect compassion and mercy to be shown to us if we do not show compassion and mercy. And I think that's the whole point of this particular text. Yes, ma'am. Right.
One day and I saw this guy was purple, so I did just put on. You know, whatever reason, it doesn't matter. Like, he was much better than I did. He refused to love me. He used to love me. He was a part of me.
That was a surprise.
Yeah, and it makes me, my goodness, that guy is no fair. I just turned my heart on him. He was great in God. And he was my first.
I want to say this because this is terribly important. The point was well made a moment ago about the fact that you don't run undue risks in helping people. I think you simply are wise as serpents. That's what the scripture has to say. But that shouldn't be an excuse either for shutting off or closing down our hearts. But when we help, the biblical view of love and the biblical view of compassion is never that you help someone as long as they're grateful, as long as they appreciate what you've done, as long as they return back something to you for your kindness and generosity to them. The biblical view of love is you reach out to meet a need, whether they thank you or not, whether they're grateful or not, because you're demonstrating the love of God, the love of Christ. And when Christ died upon the cross, the people for whom he died weren't out there saying, thank you for dying for us. They didn't care. In fact, some of them spat on him, mocked him at the cross. Understand that we're not going to have gratitude be the automatic response for our kindness and generosity when we do reach out. If we reach out for that reason, and then we get, oh, my feelings get hurt because they weren't thankful, then understand that you're going to be, you know, you're going to be soon, shall we say, demotivated from reaching out further if that's what your expectation is and if that's your reason. Don't expect anything, and you won't be disappointed. And don't do it to get some, you know, some people give for the fuzzies. That somebody says, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. And that makes them feel good. That's an ego trip. That's an ego trip. Forget whether they say thank you. That's not the point. The point is, you have a command from the Lord. You have a privilege to serve him in this manner. And don't do this. Don't ignore, is what the scripture says. Yes?
One other thing that I heard one time that I have never forgotten, Susie Humphreys, who used to be on KBIL Morning Show.
Yes.
I heard her speak several times, and she's done some tapes. And one of the things that she said, she gave an example of how she saw someone who needed help or was asking for money.
Right.
And she went past them. And then for some reason, she said the only thing she had with her was a $20 bill. Which, of course, that was a little more than she thought.
Right.
And she was also making a judgment about whether this person really needed it or not. She went back and gave it to them, and something indicated to her that it was a real need. And later she thought to herself, I should not judge whether or not they really are needy.
Right, right.
It's up to me to help. It's up right. to God to take care
exactly.
of the
Exactly, right. Exactly right. Right on. Turn to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28 and the last verse, which is verse 28:27. I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong reference. 28:27. He who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. Man. He who hides his eyes will have many curses. You see, God promises blessing for obedience. But the opposite occurs and accrues for disobedience. And if caring for those who are truly needy is something he commands, and we do what he commands, then he will bless us in the ways he chooses to bless us. But if we fail to do what he commands and we ignore, hide our eyes, then the opposite occurs. We lose blessing. Many curses in that sense of not having what God intends for us to have in our lives. In fact, we may have the opposite. See, there are people who are quite good at hardening their hearts. There are people who are quite good at closing their eyes. And as you become a harder person, see, if you say, but I'm an old softy, don't be ashamed of that. Don't be ashamed of being a softy in the sense of someone who cares about people, whether they're grateful or not, whether they truly need it or not. Because you see, what happens is that the moment you keep shutting your eyes and you keep turning away and you keep ignoring, is you get harder and harder and harder inside here. And you know, you're going to be not blessed, you're going to be cursed if you turn into a stone in terms of your compassion motor when it goes down below idle. Yes, Charlie. But that's testimony. I want to conclude today's lesson on the truly needy by looking at chapter 14 and verse 21. Chapter 14 and verse 21. We looked at the first part of it. Now let's look at the second. Chapter 14 and verse 21. We just looked at this a moment ago. I want to look at the second half. God promises blessing. God promises great blessing for obedience in this area. 14:21. Remember, we read the first half. He who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy or blessed is he. Happy or blessed is he. Now, I'm going to guess, Anne, that your son is working in some impoverished areas. Haiti is a place where there is endemic and pervasive poverty. And I know that it can either break your heart, it can harden your heart, but I'm guessing in his case, my father was addicted to gambling, that his heart gets broken on more than one occasion. But he's there. He is there living among those poor people. He is ministering to those poor people because he has allowed God to touch his heart. He's being blessed. Happy is he. So this verse is for him. So you can share that with him. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, shall we, at this moment. Heavenly Father, we've just begun to look at this topic of your view on the matter of poverty. We know that there are those for whom their need is not their fault. We know there are those who are made impoverished by others. And we know that there are those whose fault it genuinely is that they are in that condition. Help us, Father, to discern the difference. Help us to distinguish what needs to be distinguished. Help us, Father, not to either despise or to ignore those who are truly needy. Help us instead to respond with your heart of love and to help in a way that is genuine, not for anything that we might receive in return, but to demonstrate the love of Christ openly and freely. For this we pray, asking your forgiveness where we have failed to do so, and asking your conviction and empowerment to do so. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you.